Daniel's second chapter. We'll begin reading at verse number 31. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast of his and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet, the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron and the brass, and the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Let us pray. Father, once again, I thank you for this precious portion of Scripture. Once again tonight, we thank you for the blessings of this day, this morning. Lord, thank you so much for safety today, for what you've done. Trust the Lord, the services, every aspect of the services this morning, we trust was an honor unto your name. And Lord, once again tonight, though, this is a new evening, new services. We need you. We need your power. We just ask, God, that you glorify yourself here once again today. Father, the preaching of the Word of God is so important. We just ask you to help this preacher as he preaches, that the will of God would be done. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. You may be seated. I think you're all familiar with the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had seen in a dream, and Daniel come along and told what that dream was, and also told the interpretation of the dream. And he gave that, and we just read that portion of Scripture. He gives us actually five different kingdoms in this interpretation, and those are the world kingdoms. It's going to basically control the world. I do not for one moment worry about Russia ever being a world power and overcome the world and be a leadership in the world. It may have a powerful army. It may have things like that. I don't worry about China ever becoming the world power and being being a world power to the degree that they control the world. I don't worry about that. God has already established that, but let me say something else. I don't worry about the United States of America ever becoming a world power that overcomes the whole world. It will not happen. God has already established the world powers. He's already given us those. Starting with King Nebuchadnezzar there in Babylon, he was the first. He was the part of the image that was the goal, the head, and he was the first world power. And at the time this was given, he was in power. The time the dream was given, he was in power. The second one, of course, was silver, which was the breast and the arms, which was the two-sided power, which was the Media-Persian. There's a place where it talks about in the scripture. I think it's maybe the 7th chapter. It might be the 9th, but we'll cover some of that when we get there. But it talks about and gives us a picture of the Media-Persia as a bear, and he lifts himself up on one side. In other words, one side is more powerful than the other. The Persian part of the kingdom is more powerful than the Media part. But that's the second one. Then it's the brass, where it talks about the belly and the thigh. It is not, when it talks about the belly and the thigh, it's not talking about the legs, because the next kingdom includes the legs. The belly and the thigh is, of course, the Grecian kingdom, empire, and that is already passed. That's three that's already passed. And then, of course, the fourth one is the iron, the legs, the iron legs, and that is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was divided into the Eastern and Western empires, and so they're shown, symbolized there as two legs, two iron legs. And so we know the Roman Empire has already passed to a degree. And what I'm saying is right now it doesn't seem to be in power, but there's a lot of this that I don't have complete understanding of, but let me say to you, the Roman influence is still here today. It is here today in America. The Roman influence is still here. It's there across the world today, more than we can imagine. So it may not be in power, but it's going to return to power. Now, some of these things that I think that many of you have probably heard before, but there's folk here who hasn't heard these things, and it's important that you have just a basic understanding and a knowledge of what's going on. This is given, he's given us the four kingdoms that's going to take place, worldly kingdoms that's going to take place. The Roman Empire was a great, powerful empire. And then it talks about there about the 10 kings and the 10 toes, as we're going to look at for just a little while. And that is the last world empire that's going to take place. And we see it rising right now. If you will look around, you'll understand the Roman Empire is coming back into power, basically, over in the European area. And it is coming back, and it's getting more powerful all the time. Has its own currency now. The euro is part of that. So it's building, and it's coming back into power. So what we're seeing the very last. We're seeing this where it talks about the 10 toes and the 10 kings in the book of Revelation, the 10 kings. And so we're seeing that being formed. Now, the other power, the fifth power, we'll discuss some tonight, is the wonderful, wonderful kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's not going to be any other world powers. There may be people rise up with power and maybe greatness, but it's not going to be a world power. They're not going to control the world. Okay? So we can be assured of that. And that's why I said America is not going to control the world. America's not really trying to control the world. She's trying to keep peace in the world, which is an impossibility. But she is not trying to control. She doesn't go and take countries and then take them as part of her kingdom. She always gives them back. She gave Japan back to Japan. She's done this in many areas. She's doing the same thing with Iraq. She's a great power, powerful power, but she's not going to ever be the world power. She's not going to be. God would have told us that in his word. Okay? But there is going to be another power, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the one you and I is looking forward to. You can't help. I can't anyway, when I read about this great stone cut from out of the mountain without hands. There's just something that kind of sometimes chills go up and down my back. It really does. I just get excited about that and think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the setting up of his kingdom. What a tremendous, tremendous thing that's going to be. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, for a few moments. I'm not going to cover all of these now because we'll be doing that probably later on, but there is another vision here of Daniel, and Daniel has a vision much likened unto the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, but we find his vision is in about beasts and animals presenting the world kingdoms. But I'm just going to deal with verse 7 and 8 right now, talking about the toes, the 10 toes. He says in verse 7, in chapter 7, he says, "And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things." That little horn that's going to come up out of that last powerful kingdom, which is the 10 horns, represented by the 10 horns here, is the Antichrist. Many of you heard about the Antichrist. He's going to raise up and he's going to rule for a short period of time. He's going to be a terrible ruler, a horrible ruler, a wicked ruler. And horrible things are going to happen on this earth while he rules. So you'll notice it talks about the 10 horns, sometimes the 10, toes, but it's referring to the very same thing. Also over in Revelation, as we're going to go there, you'll find the 10 kings. And I would like to take you over the book of Revelation for a few moments and share with you from that portion of Scripture. 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. I hope you understand, get a picture of all of this, why your preacher and many other people, many other Christians, simply believe we're living in the last days. We are living in the last days. We're seeing this last kingdom that is going to take power being formed right before our very eyes. Now this preacher knows, you can't either, I can't either. I know I cannot say, hey, it's going to happen tomorrow, or it's going to happen next week, or even next year. I cannot do that. But folks, we better realize and understand this thing is right before our eyes. That's why I've said many times, that ought to keep us busy, folks. That ought to keep us going, because we've got to get the work of God done. There's only limited time to do that. So over in Revelation 17, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 12, and it says, "The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings." Now, he's referring, we won't go back there right now, but he's referring back to the 13th chapter of a beast that he saw rise up, and it had what he's talking about here, the 10 horns on it. So he said, "The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Now he's talking about 10 kingdoms that's going to give their power to the beast, to the Antichrist. They're going to give over their power, their kingdom, to him. It says for 1 hour. Now we may turn back there in a moment, but in Revelation 13 chapter, it talks about that time will be a period of 42 months, which is 3.5 years. If you understand the tribulation period, you understand that's what's going to come right after the rapture of the church. We as God's people are looking for the rapture. Amen. We're looking right now. That's our hope. That's our comfort. Amen. We're looking for the rapture of the church. Well, after the rapture of the church, there's a period of time which is called the tribulation period. 7 years. It's the last, Israel's last week of years. And it's 7 year period. Well, those last half of the tribulation period is going to be the great, terrible, great tribulation. It's going to be a horrible time like there has never been upon the face of this earth. Amen? So that could be within, if the rapture came tomorrow, it might be within, 3.5 years, the first part of the tribulation, and then the last part of the tribulation be another 3.5 years. It can only be 5 or 6 years off here. We don't know. I say it could be. I'm just saying, get a hold of the fact this thing is serious, and this tribulation period. So these 10 horns are going to give their power over to the beast for the 42 months or for the 3.5 years. They're going to give their power, and the 10 kings are the 10 toes, the 10 horns. They're the ones that's going to be the end time power given over to the beast. That's where he's going to rule from. Okay? And then you'll notice in verse 13, these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, you take these 10 kingdoms. I do not know which ones these are. You have a pretty good indication sometimes. If you look at the European landscape, you probably have got some pretty good ideas of which ones they are, or at least portionally wise, you would understand some of them. But what he's saying is they're great powers. They're going to be, by the time this takes place, probably great economic powers. You see, this thing on the euro is gaining strength against the dollar. We've got to be careful. One of these days we'll look up and the euro is going to be the powerful economic currency. One of these days they're going to be powerful. They're going to probably have quite a bit of military strength. I've looked at this thing a lot of times. I don't know what's going to happen in the last days. I've wondered, is the United States going to lend to them their military power to help? I really do not know. But I do know this, these 10 kings are going to give their power over to the beast. This is going to be a wicked, wicked, Satan-inspired, indwelt man, like has never been on the face of the earth before. We think there's some wicked people. We look at Hitler and we look at Mussolini and we look at some of these people, Saddam Hussein, and we say they're wicked. I want to tell you, there's one coming that these people will not even compare to. He is a wicked, wicked one, and he's going to lead these 10 kings. They're going to give their power and strength unto the beast in verse 13. Then these shall make war with the Lamb. Now, what's going to happen at the very last of the tribulation period, Jesus is going to come. The Lamb of God is going to come, and they're going to come and make war. It's probably be the ending of the Battle of Armageddon. They're going to make war and stand against the Lamb of God and his armies from heaven. Of course, you don't have to worry. We'll be in those army of Jesus's, but we won't have to do any fighting. If you look at that thing, Jesus is just going to speak. There's one scripture, I believe it's in Zechariah, talks about their flesh will just melt from off of their bones. Amen. You see, when Jesus speaks, there's going to be no fighting. There's not going to be standing up against him. They're going to be destroyed completely and fully, see. But they're going to stand against the Lamb of God when he comes back to set up his kingdom. Now, if you notice, he said he shall overcome them, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For why? For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. It's going to be a privilege to be with him. Amen. That's why I told you, it just kind of puts chills up and down you sometimes. When you think about all this, it's going to take place. It's exciting. Folks, it's exciting what's going to happen in these last days. But our Lord of lords, King of kings, is going to come. They cannot make war with him. And he says unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Again, we're not going to cover all of that tonight, but if you go to the first of the chapter 17 and talk about it, it talks about the whore. It talks about, and that is the religious whore. That is the false church. You know that Pastor Ross warns you over and over and over. We don't want to be a part. We're not, and we're not going to be a part of the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches. They've gathered under their wings all kinds of false religions. Absolutely gathered under their wings. That's going to be a part. Now, let me say this. A lot of people don't want to say this, but the leadership of all of this is going to be the Catholic Church. That's the leadership. But let me say to you, the Protestants are going to be there too. They're going to fall under this false religious thing. Now, I'm saying this because if you read the first part of chapter 17, there's no way that you cannot include the Catholic Church in this. There's no way when you talk about the seven mountains that it cannot be a part of Rome. Cannot, it has to be. But what we're simply saying, we're just not downing Catholics. We're doubting the Catholic system, if you understand what I'm saying, because the Catholic system is not of God. You can't worship the Pope. You can't kiss his feet. He is not the vicar of Jesus Christ. He absolutely is not. And I say to you, you know, that's what's going on. But multitudes and multitudes are deceived. I mean, absolutely deceived into thinking, and bless their hearts, multitudes of Catholics are being led astray because the Pope has leading them astray. And I'm just saying this to you. But listen, there's a lot of Protestant out there, too, that's going to be a part of this. National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, all of these organizations that get together and all of this that have false doctrine. See, many of these organizations bring the Muslims right in along and have dialogue with them. And all other kinds of false religions, they get together and they have all. Well, that is what he's talking about here when he says, and he said, the wet waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And I want you to understand, see what happens to them. Look in verse 16. The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. And it says, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You see, this old false church is going to work hand in hand here with the beast and his kingdom. But the day's going to come when he's done with the church, the false church. He's done with them. And the kings are going to destroy her. Rome will be on fire. And this false religion will be done away with. He don't want to give any of that glory to them. He wants all the glory himself, the beast does. So the day is coming, he says, when the ten horns, which is the ten kingdoms, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Why? For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdoms unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. This is God's plan. God has already planned all of this, and he's put it in the hearts of these kings, these ten kingdoms, to give their power, their strength over to the beast. And then he says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And that again refers back over to the first part of chapter 17. What I'm simply trying to share with you is the picture is already laid out. It's already there. God has already laid it out for us. I know there's a lot of details that's hard to understand completely how everything is going to take place, but he's already laid out the program. It's already there. There's going to be a political and there's going to be a religious in time a kingdom that is going to be as false as can be. Amen. See, the rapture of the church is already taking place. See, it's already taking place. By the time this all happens, the rapture of the church is already taking place. We're home to be with him. Amen. And so we'll then be coming back with him when he sets up his kingdom here. Boy, that's exciting. It's not a matter of just thinking how, well, look at all that. I just want to be with him. I just think that's going to be so wonderful just to be with him. Be along with him. Whatever he does, we'll be there. I don't know whether you've ever thought about that or not, but the scripture teaches us that we'll forever be with the Lord. I honestly, now, I mean, you may take this wrongly, I don't know, but I do have trouble with that sometimes. Not the truth of it, but why in the world would he want to be with us forever? I mean, I really do sometimes. I think about that. I think I can't hardly stand me one day. I know I'm going to be a little different at that time. He's going to clean everything up, and it's all going to be all right. But to imagine Jesus Christ wants to be with us forever. Well, that's going to be great, isn't it? Amen. And I want to be right there tagging along. Amen. I want to be right there with him. I'm going to enjoy that, and I think you will too. Amen. Let's just go back for a moment here to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, and I'm just going to read verse number 5 just to kind of show you back up here what we was talking about. And there was given unto him a mouth, and this is talking about the Antichrist. And he says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's where I was talking about the 42 months. That's where we're talking about the 3.5 years. Great power is going to be given over to the beast. Amen. Boy, now just think about it a moment. Just give thought a moment. You wouldn't want to be there, would you? I mean, would you want to be here during the tribulation period? I'm telling you, if you read this book of Revelation, my wife said to me today, she said, honey, she's going to read the Bible different. She's going to read it backwards, she said. She got over the book of Revelation. She's going to read Revelation, then she's going to go back to the next book and just something different. Amen? It's all right. Amen. She just wants to do it that way, and I think that's good. But she said, that book of Revelation is really interesting. She said, it's kind of scary. And you know it is. You start reading that thing. Oh, it's not scary for the Christian, but it's just really something. All that's going to go take place in that book. It's amazing. You see the end times. So I don't think that any of us really, if we just look around, we see the political end time kingdom. We see that, folks. There was a day when America was kind of sovereign, that it was, you know, it stood alone. But America doesn't stand alone today. America's part of the international community. And the whole world is part of that international community. That's what it's going to be in the end times. Many of the churches today do not stand alone. They stand with organizations and groups and things. And no matter what they believe, doesn't make any difference. That's why we as Independent Fundamental Baptists, we just stand aside. We believe the Bible. We're going to stand. We're not going to walk with people who don't believe the Bible. We're not going to do that, are we? We're not going to be a part of that. No. You know, we don't have to spend all of our time downing him and all that. I'm just not going to be a part of it. I'm going to stand with the Bible, the Word of God, okay? And I believe that's where you're going to stand too. But in the end days, there's going to be a great, you can call it a kingdom, I guess, organization, religious organization that's going to stand together, and they're as false as they can be. So I think with you, just look around. There's all kinds of these groups. You used to have the Council of Foreign Affairs, I believe it is, Council of Foreign Relations. You know, and you look at them, you say, well, them part of the one world governor, a government thing. And they are. But now they're just pretty out there in the open. Used to be they kept pretty secret, but they're pretty much out in the open. Why? Because the world is going toward one world government. Amen. There used to be a group called the Bilderberg Group that was working very hard toward one world government. Whether you understand it or not, some of our presidents, a lot of our presidents, has been member of the Council of Foreign Relations and some of these one world government organizations. They've been a part of that. They've helped guide our country to the one world government. Amen? They just have. We're not down on them. We're not just, you know, saying, we just know it's the end time thing. It's the way it's going. So I think that the importance is that we look out and we see, we understand that we are in the last days. Amen. We're in the last days, and we need to understand that. We need to understand the closeness of the coming of Jesus and keep that in our heart. Don't let anybody convince you that the coming of Christ is not soon. Just don't do it. No, you look for him today. You look for him tomorrow. You look for him for the next day if he doesn't come. But we need to keep our eyes open that Jesus is soon to come. You know, we ought to be able to discern the face of the sky as Jesus told them back then, you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the times that you live in. And boy, we ought to be able to discern the times that we live in, and because it's all around us, and we can see that. So this prophecy that we're seeing here in the book of Daniel, and I'm going to take us back now to the book of Daniel. We just kind of wanted to give you some background there, help you to understand what's coming, what he pictured there, the 10 toes that he saw, and all of that. I want to take you to verse number 44 and show you something. I want to read to you. And in the days, that's verse 44, chapter 2 of Daniel. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be left not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You know, this verse of scripture is dealing with the fifth kingdom that's going to rise. And that kingdom is going to be the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably got that down pretty pat. This is his kingdom that's coming. Amen. When they arise upon the earth, we know Jesus is soon to come and set up his kingdom. But folks, we won't be here doing that. The rapture of the church will take place first. Okay? So you got to understand, we're just not looking for this European coming market and some of these over here to arise and get formed so that we'll know Jesus. No, no, no. That's when he comes to set up his kingdom after the tribulation period. But his coming in the rapture to rapture us up out of this earth can happen any moment. We need to look up and realize that our redemption draweth nigh. It's soon to be. Amen. So he's telling us, though, in the days of these kings, when these kings are ruling, is when Jesus is going to come set up his kingdom. In that day, the very day they're ruling, at the end of that tribulation period, he's going to come and set up his kingdom. And notice what it says, and shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. And it says, which shall never be destroyed. This kingdom is different than all the kingdoms of the world. This kingdom will never be destroyed. And look what he says. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. There'll never be another time when people, another kingdom will arise out of the earth or from people and take over this kingdom. That will never happen. Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom and it'll be forever and ever. And that's what it says. It shall stand forever. But it's going to, in the process, when he sets up his kingdom, it's going to break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. I mean, he is going to destroy the Antichrist, the beast, and calling the Antichrist. And his kingdom is going to be completely destroyed. He's going to wipe it out. Look what he says in verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. See, this was not formed with human hands. This kingdom is not formed with human hands. This is a stone that's cut out of the mountains without hands, and it break in pieces the iron. It break in pieces all of these other kingdoms. I mean, it literally destroys them. Amen? There's no men that's helping to build that kingdom. I mean, we may be used of God, but it's God's kingdom that's being built. And it was cut out without hands. It's not done, not produced by man's power or strength. But it's going to come and it's going to destroy, as the Bible says there, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the king and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. You notice he mentions all of these world kingdoms in that, all the metals and everything that's going to be destroyed. He mentions them because remnants of that is going to be within the last kingdom. If you'll read, we'll do that sometime. You look at the beast vision of Daniel, you'll find that in the very last one of the very last pictures of the kingdom, it'll be like a leper. Well, that's what the Grecian Empire was like. And it'll also have the feet of a bear, you see. And that was the Persian, you see. It have the mouth of a lion. Well, that was the Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. That was the first one. It'll have similarities to all of the kingdoms. But God is, what he's saying is, he's going to put away and do away with all of the world's kingdoms. Completely destroy them completely and fully, and they'll never be no more. They'll be like the chaff of the threshing floor. They'll be just blow away. The Bible says the wind will just blow them away. And they'll be gone. And God's kingdom will be set up forevermore. I want to show you kind of what happened right after that he gave him this interpretation. To me, it's very interesting if you look at verse 46. And then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell up on his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. This is interesting because we find that Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and he worshiped Daniel. Now, I'm going to bring this together. I want to show you something. Because here was King Nebuchadnezzar. He was so caught up in this that he just simply fell on his face. Now, you got to remember something. This is the king that has just heard the interpretation of a dream that says you're not going to last very long. There's another kingdom coming. The Medo-Persian's going to come and take over you. But he was so taken up with this that he fell on his face, and the Bible says he worshiped Daniel and was offered oblations unto him. But I want to show you something in the very next verse. God does not pin down what Daniel says, but I know Daniel resisted that worship. See, how do you know, Brother Ross? Listen to what the next scripture says. The king answered unto Daniel and said. Answered him what? What had Daniel said? He had already answered Daniel. Well, I want to tell you what Daniel had told him, because here's what he said. Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Daniel had got him set straight, and he would probably said to him, get up, king, and don't worship me. It's God that deserves the glory and the honor. And when he got done, then the king answered Daniel and said these things to him. Yeah, it's true. Your God is the God of gods. There's no doubt about that. But I just wanted you to know, Daniel never received that worship. No, no, no. It doesn't pin it down what he said, but we can reveal what is said by that next verse of scripture, by what the king, how he answered Daniel. Daniel was not in the business of wanting glory for anything. If you know anything about Daniel, you know that that was just not true. Amen. And so we find him doing that. And then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Well, what was all this? It was God's plan. Folks, yes, Nebuchadnezzar gave him great wealth and gave him great things. That was all right because it was within the plan of God. He also gave him great position. Why? Because it was in the plan of God. God had was placing him in a very important place there in that kingdom. And that was all right, but he never received the worship. Now what's interesting, and we won't have time to get into it tonight, but what's interesting, a few years later, I think Nebuchadnezzar got to looking at this. We'll probably cover this here in some time down the road here. But Nebuchadnezzar got to looking around and he said, I'm the head of gold. Now what I need is a image made all of gold. Here I'm going to be destroyed. And that image had gold and silver and brass and iron and clay and iron mixed. But wait a minute. If I'm the head of gold, why not just make the whole image out of gold? And so Nebuchadnezzar, that's the story of where Nebuchadnezzar set up the image of gold and called all the providences and all the people to come and worship that image of gold. What was he trying to do? He was trying to set up him an eternal kingdom himself. He could not change what God had already ordained. But he was going to set it up. That's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got themselves in problems. Amen. They didn't want to kneel down, didn't want to bow down to this image of gold. Now that is a picture, though. If you go to the book of Revelation, that is a picture of the image that the Antichrist, the beast, will set up at the end times in the book of Revelation. That was just a forerunner. And the old beast is going to do the same thing and ask everybody to bow down to that image and worship that image. And if you don't, you're going to get your head cut off. You're going to die. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't buy. You can't do this. Well, that's basically what Nebuchadnezzar was doing here. He was setting this image up and saying, everybody is required to bow down to this image. Why? He made an image of gold. He wanted to stick around an eternal kingdom, which he could not do. You can't change God's plan. There's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kingdom set up by our Lord. And folks, listen to me. It's worth working for it. I know we're not the one that's building, but it's worth being on the side of God. It's worth being the one that God uses to help build that kingdom. He's the one that's building it. We know that. But we need to be on his side. Amen. You and I would be so sorry one of these days if we come to the very end and faced our Lord and said, you know, I just didn't do anything for you. I just didn't do anything for you. I just didn't. You know, I didn't take the time. It just wasn't worth it to me. Oh, what a horrible thing that would be. You don't want to find yourself in that position. No, you don't. You and I is going to face the Lord Jesus. Amen? Now, folks, are you hearing me? Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Boy, just do the best you can to serve God. Just be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful in soul winning. Be faithful in all the things of walking with God. So important how God's people walks with God. Serves God. Just be faithful. Amen. Do what is right. One of these days we're going to see our master. And you don't want him to not be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You don't want that. See, that'd be a terrible time. Be a horrible thing if you'd have to face God and be ashamed at his coming. Amen. I just want you to receive all that God wants to give you. I want every person in this room to receive the great wonderful rewards that God wants to give his people. And I want to see you do that. And the way you're going to get that is just simply be faithful to God. Be faithful. Do what's right. Amen. These days are coming. Amen. Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, and your kindness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the wonderful grace of God that brought salvation to us. Now, once again, Lord, we ask you to have your will and way in all of our lives that's here tonight. Is anyone here that's not saved? Oh, God, let it be the day that they're born into your family. They come to know Christ as their Savior. And, Father, if there's Christians here tonight, just needs to get along with God. And just needs to get some things corrected or right, or just maybe just a new dedication to him. Whatever it might be, we just ask your will be done in Jesus' name.